Welcome to your area. We're here today with John Bucard.
What's up, Tim?
How you doing?
I'm doing fine and dandy, man. Happy to be here.
Well, thanks for coming in. And for those that haven't heard of John Bucard, he's the founder of Tesseract, which is...
Tesseract.
Got to pronounce the C and the T at the
like
end.
Like Stanley.
Tesseract.
That's right. He's the founder of Tesseract, which is a robotics company, which we'll get into in a bit. Super interesting company, probably one of the most interesting, fast-growing techno companies in Kansas City right now. John's born and bred in Kansas City, spent some time outside of Kansas City.
Yeah, I got out of KC in 1999. I didn't think it was the right time to build a technology company then, but I did enjoy a unique growing up here in KC.
But you went to junior high and high school,
the whole bit,
Blue Valley, right?
Blue Valley North, yep. Hollywood High.
Right on.
You know, I remember that place. They had Perrier, water in the drinking fountain. I remember that. It was a great place, actually. Great place to go to school.
But so you tell us just real quick. I mean, we could spend all, you know, all day talking about your background, but tell us, you know, where you've been.
Sure. I'll keep it short and sweet. So it's interesting. In my, you know, in undergrad, I went to work for this incubator in Kansas City that was funded by the Kauffman Foundation as well as other various funding mechanisms. But it was an incubator that helped companies start businesses. And that was an interesting place because you could see how companies could start, you know, how they could attract a team, how they could build a board. And I was an intern there as one of the undergrad interns. They mostly hired MBAs back then for interns. But there was a couple of us or three of us that got hired as a undergrad interns. And that was a unique experience because you could see how companies could, you know, finance themselves and how they would fold up and, you know, how they would recruit the team. So that was very interesting for me as a young person. But then I really thought that for my future that it wasn't necessarily in Kansas City at that time period. It wasn't the right place in my mind and in my early 20s to build a super high-tech company. So I got recruited into Los Angeles to work for a very special person. His name was Stan Lee.
Who's Stan Lee?
Stan Lee! He's in superhero heaven, and he's one of the greatest bosses I ever had. Anyway... very special guy. So I worked for him for a while, and then I decided, you know, I would start my own company, and I did that. Sold that company, went to work for another incubator in Pasadena, California, called Idea Lab, at a great company called Evolution Robotics, and that company was really the very special company that invented floor surface care cleaning robots. It was a very unique place, Idea Lab. It
was that much iRobot?
No, it was called Evolution, but the technology ultimately was sold to iRobot.
Got it.
So anyway, the reason that I thought about heading back into KC was, you know, about two years ago now, was I thought it was the right time then to start an advanced technology company, and I wanted to still stick in robotics, but I didn't want to do consumer robotics. I really wanted to focus on enterprise, and I wanted to build my own bullpen, like Stanley used to say, bullpen of creatives. And it was a, you know, I even tried out to the what is that at the incubator now called SourceLink. It was a sandbox. I pitched a sandbox, and I was turned down for the first pitch. $25,000. That's okay, but then I thought to myself, you know what? I'm not thinking big enough. And if I shifted my mind then to think about how I could build this advanced robotics and technology company, and recruit the most creative people. Sometimes they can draw or sketch in 3D, or electrical engineers, mechanical engineers, true strategists, the best law firm in town. We've attracted those types of people and individuals, and we've done a very, very good job of building an excellent group of investors. They're all local, which was the strategy in the beginning, all titans, actually, and I couldn't be more honored to start the company. So actually, Tesseract is super unique. It's made up of these four studios, so It's a different kind of company, Tim. Much different than what I've seen here ever before. So,
Before we go into the studios, I think what's really interesting in the time we're in now with the pandemic, and this, which is happening at the same time as this, all the convergence of AI and robotics and
automation,
all these things, it's become even more relevant than it was 4 months ago in terms of distancing, social distancing. You've created products for the construction industry.
I have.
Help contractors and with health, wellness, safety.
Well, we started very specifically to focus on health and safety. There are there are many different types of companies that are attempting to crack the construction vertical, but Tesseract has a unique mission on how we would attack that vertical. First of all, we're leveraging internally our four studios. One of our studios is called Cyber Physical. And that's the advanced in robotics and AI studio where we are totally focused on disruption of a couple of different industries. One of them is construction. The reason why we created these different types of robots, some of them are wearable. We call it Prism. And social distancing was one feature that has risen to the top, obviously, because of this COVID pandemic. But it was able to shine a light on our cyber physical studio and advanced robotics because timing is everything.
Well, talk about the product because that's what people, I mean, I'm listening to this, but what's really cool is the product.
And sure.
What it does not only for the safety of the worker, but also how it benefits the contractor because it's, there is a social distancing piece of this, but it's also, you know, construction sites are super, super dangerous, right?
Yes.
And, you know, if somebody hasn't had enough rest, if they're having problems, just at home or, you know, the way they're feeling that day, you know, all those things can affect the job site and the safety of others. So
totally.
Talk about the product.
Sure, sure. Well, Prism is one, the Prism wearable is one component of a system. So what I've always been an inventor of systems and different components of these systems would act together and they could be sold as a system or very specific for construction. Prism is a wearable robotic system that is managed by a unique software platform called Mosaic. And in the construction industry, these Prism wearable robots are actually allowing and facilitating the construction worker to go back to work in the first place. We'll start with the COVID. So we're able to proximity trace any worker that has our Prism badge enabled. We know who they are, where they are, how far apart they are, and are able to proximity trace the entire day at exact locations. Now, why is this important? Because in safety, beyond COVID, there might be dangerous areas of the construction site that you would need alerts on. So we have a very unique notification system that's able to be communicated to anyone that's like a foreman or other types of leadership with text messaging, phone calls through service, email, a complete report of what happened during the day instantly. And so Prism—
So instead of shutting down the entire construction site and sending everybody home— That data provides the contractor with the information to know who to send out.
Information of all things. That's where it's going. I think what's important about Prism is that, and Mosaic, which is a part of that system, is that we're able to uniquely pull data off of these robots, put them into Mosaic, and organize this data that's being transmitted from badges to anchors to from badge to badge, from in a mesh to an anchoring system, back to Mosaic, and we're able to analyze the past, the present, to literally predict just a hair in the future, which is this predictive analytics, which is a piece of AI. We even built a special environment called a Tesseract. The smart space in our office, anyway, we call it Tesseract, and it's better than mission control, or it's like a special environment that is surrounded by screens. kind of reminds me of, for Minority Report, or to take a Marvel reference, the Danger Room, or, you know, Cerebro, right, for all those comic book fans. But we really did build it. It's not fiction at all. We actually built a smart space. Oh, you've seen it.
After I signed your 50-page NDA, I got a chance to see it.
Well, you know, one of the secrets of Tesseract is that we choose to reveal information on our own time, Tim. So we desire secrecy, and we've tried to keep a lid on the business for as long as we could. I can tell you that we are gaining quite a bit of ground, tremendous traction in the business. We're hiring extremely unique scientists and inventors and makers and truly creative people. It's a pleasure to do so, by the way, locally.
So one of the things that's really cool about this is all the sensors and all the technology gets put into the construction site. And after the construction is complete, yes, it stays with the building.
Yes.
And the occupant, owner of the building, can use this technology and this whole system to track different types of data, which I find pretty interesting.
In real time. Yeah.
In real time, because we manage property.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not a totally transparent business. I mean, you know, you don't know if the janitorial company is cleaning every night, unless
robots,
the trash can. You know, what's being disinfected?
That's right.
You know, what's the air quality? You know, security. All these things.
HVAC after, and the just the movement of hot and cold air through a building. I mean, it's
the amount of carbon dioxide in the air. So it's not based on temperature, but based on carbon dioxide. And that pretty much tells you whether there have been a lot of people in the area and whether I need to turn on the air conditioning to get airflow going.
Correct. So, you know, this is an interesting conversation, especially with a person like you, because you really do understand the exactly what we're trying to build. You see, with this, we have an advanced R&D group called Future Lab, which is our secret lab, our Google X in Kansas City, right? I'm very proud of this, and it's filled with inventors and software developers and engineers, where we invent these platforms and can deploy them carefully. For instance, we would in Future Lab, we have invented a unique robotic system called TESS, TESS, you know, short for Tesseract, right? And we use our own PRISM system to triangulate humans that have this wearable robot, but when the construction workers leave and we leave in our PRISM technology, it allows the building itself to become a robot. And, you know, what is a robot? Well, we think that smart buildings of the future come with robots. And it starts with credentialing. It starts with a locked-down IoT network. It starts with robots that can accomplish things that humans do not desire to do. And starting with COVID, we can send our test robot into an office of the future and decontaminate it, because if we know exactly where the person is in the beginning with PRISM, we would already have all the building routed anyway to send a robot out to any point in space. And so we think that we have something unique with PRISM. We've gained tremendous ground and a unique customer base. Can't talk about who they are today, but you'll hear about it in the future for sure.
Can I tell everybody who it is?
No.
Okay.
No. Yeah, I'll surround you with five robots. You might be able to kick one, but you can't kick all five, right?
So, you know, there's a lot of talk about the reshoring of manufacturing, mm-hmm. Just with, you know, the problems that have been uncovered recently with our supply chain.
Mm.
And it originally went overseas because of the cost of labor. Robotics is going to play a big part in that, isn't it?
Yeah, of course it is. I think, especially in the automation part. I mean, if you think about the construction industry for a second, you know, we're in 2020. The advent of robots in the construction space, I believe, is a huge market opportunity, because you don't see a lot of kids these days swinging hammers on construction sites. So the automation and the efficiency that occurs in the pre-construction phase is a massive opportunity. We are narrowly focused on that specific vertical for this year, as well as military and soon cyber.
You know, we talked about the Tesseract, and there's so many different applications to it.
You're talking about the room.
The room. Mm. and we did talk at length of how it might change retail?
You know, I think that's that could be a huge opportunity. And you know, I've investigated especially locally on how to do something like that. I'll just comment on the actual Tesseract environment for a second. It's not, if I would describe it, it is when you enter the Tesseract, it's not a normal conference room. It doesn't look like a conference room. It looks like something, you know, from a science fiction show.
Right.
But we actually did build it, and
there's a little snip that you can kind of get an idea on your website.
Yeah, it looks just like that actually,
yeah.
And the room knows who you are. It knows if Tim and John walk in the room, the Tesseract knows that you and I are in the room. Welcome, Tim. Welcome, John, and is able to intuitively display projects that both you and I are working on. So it comes into our field of view, the ability to quickly serve information swiftly to a tech table that we've invented, to a number of different screens, which are all touch-based, which are all touch screens, high-resolution screens. We have an excellent audio system in, but we've designed it to interface with Mosaic so that we can instantly understand, and we could pull up multiple, let's say, multiple commercial building sites and understand the efficiency of the building itself, as well as what are people actually doing in the building. Similarly to a kind of IoT room management of the future, we also brainstorm in the room. So the room understands hand gestures. It can be used in the morning when I get in at about 7 o'clock. The room changes to Japanese cherry blossoms everywhere, and music to focus me. It has nothing to do with, like, let's say a construction site at 7 a.m., but it knows when John walks in
what you want,
what I want, and it's able to intuitively predict, which is why we call it a Tesseract. It was intuitively predict information that I would want to see, maybe market research on individuals that we choose to, that we're going about ready to go into a meeting with, or pulls up company information so that it educates us on who we're about ready to talk to. It calms us down in the morning to invigorate us to be our best self. So it is not a regular conference room. It's something from the future.
Yeah,
today.
The physical construction. It's you're surrounded by screens, and
yeah,
then you've got a table, conference table.
Yes,
that's
a supercomputer in the middle.
It's unbelievable. Let's go to the lighter side of things.
Okay,
at Tesseract.
All right.
The entertainment piece that you're doing.
Yeah.
Which
that's the third studio, experiential entertainment.
And you've done, it's just amazing. All these really serious things go on at your studio, and then you walk over the corner and you see these amazing toys that you've come up with.
Yeah.
And
it's a different kind of place in that studio.
It is a different kind of place. But what's interesting is that it's not just the lighter side, but it's also a big part of the business model also.
Absolutely.
Talk about some of these cool toys.
Example. First, I'll explain the studio. We called it experiential entertainment. We didn't call it the toy business because toys is one component of a brand initiative. So the experiential entertainment studio allows for invention in Future Lab, where we invent all these concepts and software and technology. The experiential entertainment studio allows for invention in Future Lab to be strategically and narrowly licensed out. So experiential entertainment is a mechanism to license our intellectual property out to entertainment companies, toy companies, studios, and the like. And that business is completely changing. And so we believe that by having this studio and having the super creatives part of it that can invent new types of play patterns, and some part of it is, let's say, toy development. But the biggest part is it is a mechanism to license out our intellectual property very narrowly in the entertainment sector, and allows us a creative outlet to dream, and it's a great place. We call that experiential entertainment, or EE. Big news from EE coming soon.
What? Why don't we release it now, John?
Well, listen, if you want to see a little bit about what we have many things coming, but most of our technology and out of EE Studio is all licensed technology, and we're grateful for our relationships with the companies that we do business with. I'd like to ask you a question. Do you see the value of a Tesseract for, let's say, a property management company? You know, I think it'd be a unique, if we were able to set up Tesseracts in KC. You're a real estate guy. What do you think of a smart space like that for a building of the future? You've been doing your company's been in the news lately too, doing all kinds of development in KC. What do you think about a Tesseract for an office building of the future?
I think there's definite relevance to especially in new construction, because it can be financed into the entire project.
Design build
retrofitting existing buildings is going to be difficult, but new buildings, it can be financed into the core and shell of the building. Mm-hmm. And you know, as we move forward, I think new construction is going to be favored over old construction, just because the systems are newer, cleaner, has the latest technology. People are going to want, and we've had a couple of sessions with architects at this table before talking about wellness and in the workplace. And it's always, anytime a tenant starts to design a space, the wellness thing that the architects are talking about always gets VC'd out of it, because it's, it's just kind of not important to the business. Now, the health and wellness of your employees is paramount, number one. So if that's true, then the building has to respond to that.
And
so, I think people, tenants, are going to require more transparency from their landlord. What is the air quality? Well, we could get a set of, 15 technicians in here for 3 days. We could test the air quality, or we can build a building with the sensors in place, and we can be transparent about that. If there's a mold problem, if there's a CO2 problem, if, all these things should be transparent. We're in a transparent world today. So,
I couldn't have explained it better myself, brother.
So is your space getting cleaned at night? Where did they clean? Security, all these things. And when you look at the total cost of this technology being incorporated into the building, it's a fraction of the total cost of the building. And I think tenants will respond to that. And I think tenants will pay more money for it because you're moving beyond just leasing space and paying the bills.
That's interesting. I've been thinking about these types of opportunities lately too. Have you talked to Kevin McGinnis on the Innovation District?
Oh yeah, we've been working with him for a year on this.
This guy's an OG. He's a very special guy. I mean, I'd love to put a Tesseract in the Innovation District. It's a very unique opportunity, but we should continue to talk about that in the future.
Yeah,
absolutely. For what you're doing. So
absolutely. Being at your lab and seeing all these amazingly creative, smart people, why do they come to work for you?
Why?
Why don't they go to work for Garmin or Cerner? Mm-hmm. What's the attraction?
It's interesting. That's a great question. I think in starting Tesseract, it was designed from the beginning to build a very unique culture, and to also have a place where people could come to, that even the lighting and the design inside, where they actually have the tools to be creative, is super important. So, I learned that by working in many different incubators to see how different cultures were formed and how companies would start, and it starts with the culture and to be a magnetic person that can attract those types of people is very important for me. And we have to be super selective, especially now. And Tesseract's in the stage of a massive scaling event, so we have to be very careful on who we pick. And so we have defined a very unique culture on how we operate and how we are, you know, we're inventors. So we take intellectual property very seriously. We invent our own ideas. We attempt to find the right people. And, you know, it doesn't work 100% of the time. I mean, we have over 23, 24 people, and going through and hiring and being a key selector of these type of talent. Kansas City is very important. Not everybody works out, but most of them have. I mean, we have a super group. It's like the Avengers, man.
Yeah.
Avengers assemble at the Tesseract.
Culture is super important. And, you know, you got to be face-to-face to create that culture.
That's right.
And that's why it's even more important to create is the design of your office and the health and wellness of your employees, because you can't innovate through being on a Zoom call.
No. This is right? Zoom fatigue.
Yeah. I mean, it's like...
Well, I'm actually happy to see. Man, we're on audio, but I'm actually happy to see you.
We're actually on video.
Oh, we're on video too. Yeah. Oh, perfect.
So, last question, and we didn't discuss this, but there's a lot of talk about artificial intelligence, and people naturally are afraid of it, right?
Yeah. But they just don't know.
They don't understand it, right?
All kinds of news out there about what AI is.
But. So, for AI for dummies, what is AI, and why should we not be afraid of it?
AI requires organization of information in the very beginning. So from a data scientist level, you have to have these extremely intelligent people be able to write code and create complicated math and algorithms to even organize the information that's coming into an AI system in the first place. So it starts with organization of a massive amount of information. I'll give you a perfect example. I was the EIR at Fishtech with Gary Fish and Sideris with Eric Foster, a great company. I couldn't speak more highly of my time at Fishtech and Sideris. 7 months they're working in the cyber division to be able to and this is something very special to organize information. In a very unique way. And so those types of creatives and people and software to organize the information in the first place is the first step to the AI component. And then what we're working on is a little bit different from an AI perspective. We're peeling data off of machines, organizing it, and then for the most important part is how do you visualize data to give a human being insight. We call them call it insight, right? For a human being to make decisions with, like, I wouldn't say a robot, it'd be like a cobot, and it might not be a mechanical robot. I'm talking about like a system, right? So, Tesseract, the smart space, Mosaic, the software, other robots, wearables or tests. That's part of an overall system. But the true invention, I think, the unique thing that we're doing as it relates to AI is to serve and visualize information where a human being can make strategic and core decisions and then be able to bundle up the entire session and archive it, share it, analyze it, and make decisions.
So what you're saying is AI allows you to make technology more human.
Yeah.
Right.
Yes, absolutely.
So that I can
there's
I can use
more
that
human
information.
Than technology, right. Which is right. We have that etched on in our lobby. Actually, there's nothing more human than technology. But so our my view of AI is much different than others. Of course, you know, in the movies, it's like, oh my God, I'm so scared. but I think what the way we're approaching it is using AI as a kind of a cobot assistant to be able to serve information. It's not necessarily on a 2D screen. The interface of the future will not be just on a laptop or phone. It'll be more spatial. And we wrote a new MVP on top of Oculus that would allow you to send an Oculus to somebody, a VR Oculus, and have them remote into the Tesseract so we can see the information at the same time and share groups of information that's credentialed to me or you. Some people, they don't have access to it. They don't see that. But in VR, we could send a VR mask to somebody in Haiti, and they could participate in a meeting inside the Tesseract environment in real time. So we have a different perspective on robotics and AI, which is why we called that studio Cyberphysical. And look,
it sounds like the name of a song. We should write a song.
Why not?
Cyberphysical.
Let's do it. Why not? Then we'll have the robot sing it in the office. You know what I mean?
This has been fantastic.
I'm happy to be here. Happy to see you again, Tim.
Yeah, it was really great. And really appreciate you stopping by.
Happy to be here and look forward to next time.
All right. That's a wrap.
That's a wrap.